Corey Bendix, one of the pastors here on staff, and I am just ecstatic about the opportunity to celebrate our Leadwell graduation. If you don't know what that is, Leadwell is a theological arm of our church, the leadership arm that helps to kind of bring theology, life, and mission, and brings it all together in a space that allows for people, normal people, to work through an understanding of what the Bible says, how that fits in the world we live in, and that what does that mean for me and my mission in regards to what I'm on the earth to do and accomplish. And Leadwell exists to push you forward in all of those endeavors. And we have 56 people here tonight that we are going to be celebrating. 56. They have navigated 250 to 300 hours of course study. We have those that have sacrificed a whole lot because they believe that the person of Jesus and his word is worth it. It's worth it. And so I'm just excited to be a part of a church that really believes in and celebrates the formation of leaders and launches them out. And so tonight, that's what this is. This is a moment for us to celebrate, yes, but for us, more importantly than to celebrate, we're sending. We're sending those that have set themselves apart to the person of Jesus, for Jesus to breathe on them and to now launch them into next steps. And so that is what tonight is going to be. And so to set the pace in the course of both celebration and sending, we have Luke chapter 24. If you would, just go ahead and stand with me as we read the word. This is Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 48. Just a couple verses. This is what it says. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." I'd like to title this, Last Words. Last Words. And I just have a few points. Last words about a king who opens minds, opens mouths, and opens the heavens. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for what you are doing in your people through your word. We want to celebrate this. We want to be challenged by it. And God, we thank you that this is just the beginning of what you want to do to form leaders to see a city changed. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Last words. There's power in last words. There's authority in last words. Definition and direction. When I think of last words, I think of October of 2015. I had gotten a call. Our family lived in Nashville at the time, and had gotten a call that my father was going into surgery, and we needed to come, and it was for his heart. And so We dropped our world in Nashville for, we didn't know for how long, but we packed our stuff, got in the car, and we zipped up to D.C. Got to the hospital around 8 o'clock, just in time to see my father being wheeled to the operating room. And I caught him. And he looked at me. And he said, "Corey, I love you. I'm proud of you. I believe in you. And then they rolled him back. What I didn't know is that that moment with my dad would be now a 17-day journey in the ICU. That those last words would be authoritative, defining, and directional. I would hold on to those words. Wouldn't know if I were to be able to hear my dad again, and so those words were held close. Think that that's the context that we have in this text. We have in Jesus a resurrected king who has defeated sin, defeated the power of death, Satan, the grave. He's overcome it all. And in Luke 24, he enters back into a space of engaging his disciples, and he is just doing the opposite of everything that you expect. You have two people who are walking away from where they're supposed to go, and he joins them in their journey. And then he comes to this moment with his disciples, again, as a risen Savior, and he is about to take everything that was distant, and he's about to pull the curtains back on it, and he is now about to send them to places they've never been before. When you think about last, a week and a half ago or so, we all, at least for me, I took that long journey from my kitchen table to my porch to look at the eclipse. Some went to Indiana or Ohio. I took the 15-step journey. And I just, I went out with our family. And like many of you, what did you do? You had a set of glasses to look at something so powerful to be able to enjoy it. Without those glasses, you miss out on a miracle. You see, up to this point, things like understanding the Bible, the scriptures, the Torah, being a witness, and having power were things that only a few people who had the equipment and had the connection were able to do. But now Jesus is now giving glasses out to everybody. And he's literally inviting all who follow him to enter into a world to now go places that they had never been before. The curtain is pulled back. And what I love, this text, it starts, Jesus says, and he opened up their minds to understand the scripture. Now, with Jesus, he's been doing a lot of opening up to this point. Verse 32, he's on this journey, and the two people who were with him, their eyes are blinded. And after Jesus takes them to a table, breaks the bread, opens up their eyes, then leaves. What did they say? Did not our hearts burn while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? Now, we just read that Jesus is opening up minds, but before you open up a mind, look at what he does when it comes to, he's opening up the book. A God who is omnipotent, eternal, holy, omnipresent. How can we as the creature know anything about God until he decides to tell us? Knowledge of God cannot occur without his self-revelation. And this is what the king is doing. He is disclosing through writing something down, written both with the written word and the human. It is a divine space where 8,000 words, 7 genres, 40 different authors over 1,500 years, and in one moment, the king opens up the book for his people to finally dive in and have an understanding. He opens up the book. Now, this is exactly what David would have longed for, and he says this in Psalms 119, 118. He says this, "Open my eyes that I may know your wondrous things from your law." Or Isaiah would have said this in Isaiah 2:2-3. Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. These Old Testament voices are longing for God to open up the book. An arisen Savior has handed them glasses to see the book for what it actually is, to enjoy the book, to be challenged by the book, to be overcome by the book, to now not just open up their the scriptures itself, but now what we have in Jesus is that he's opening up their minds as well. You have in the King, you have in this risen Savior, in his kindness, a God who takes the Bible, gives it to us, and then like an author, I mean, like for me, I took biology and math, and I just would have paid for the author to come hang out with me and teach me how to understand math and biology. I would have loved to have had the author hang out with me to unpack what this actually means. And this is what's happening. The author has now entered into the space of you and I, and he's literally entering in and saying, I'm opening up the book for you to understand simultaneously. I'm touching your mind to properly interpret it. Amen. This is the hope that we have in a King whose last words are simply, I'm opening the book and I'm opening your minds. And then he opens their mouths. He says this, you are witnesses of these things. Witnesses to simply, and I love the fact that he says you're witnesses and he doesn't say you're prosecutors. Amen. Isn't that good news? Amen. Like a prosecutor, I mean, we've got some, they are intentional, feisty, and they will get it done. They will prove. They will prove a case because that's their job, to prosecute, to do whatever it takes to prove that what I am defending is accurate. He doesn't say that we're prosecutors. He says we are witnesses. All a witness is simply, confidently, clearly declares what you've seen and heard. This is what he says. Now, there's no other word, though, in the biblical narrative that I think properly, adequately, and completely describes the totality of all of the Bible like witness. I'll prove it to you. Adam and Eve, what were they? They were created to partner with God, to represent God as a witness, as living witnesses, as images of God. From the very beginning, that's what they were created to do. You have Abraham, chosen to be a chief witness of God, his goodness, and his nature. And out of him will come a generation of witnesses to point back to the character and nature of God. Israel, Exodus 19, verses 4 through 6. They were chosen by God to serve as a kingdom of priests, to mediate between God and the nations as witnesses. Only problem is that they became deaf and dumb, which is hard as witnesses, which is the problem. And then you have the Torah. What's the Torah? The Torah was literally called the tablet of testimony. It was kept in a box called the Ark of Witnesses. What does it do? The whole point of it is a story peppered with instructions and experience in order that people may know him. Which is why with Jesus, when he comes in, he says, the Torah testifies to who? To me. And then you have Jesus as the chief witness. Comes and those whose eyes were blind and whose ears were deaf, namely the people of Israel, he comes doing what? Opening up the eyes of the blind. Comes as the ultimate witness, bearing witness of who he is and his kingdom. In fact, what got him killed? His witness. Luke 22. And then what I love in Revelation 1, he's called the faithful witness. What does this faithful witness do? He looks at you, he looks at me, and he says, you have Abraham, you have the Torah, you have Israel, you have Jesus, all leading to now the king looking at you and saying, I have opened up the book, I've opened up your mind, and now I'm opening up your mouth. You are witnesses. He's declaring it. It is in his coming and in his sacrifice, the cost of himself was to now set you up and set myself up in a space of simply saying, God, allow for my mouth to confidently and simply and succinctly and clearly declare what I've seen, what I've heard. Well, I one thing to notice about the word witness is that it is from this Greek word martus, where we get the word martyr. As if Jesus is saying that I want to reveal myself with such clarity to you, and I want to capture your heart with such power over the course of the entirety of your life that you now lay down yourself for the voice I'm giving you to be a witness, potentially a martyr. This is what Jesus, in his last words, he's opening up his word, he's opening up our minds, he's opening up our mouths for what? An open heaven. I know you can't believe this, but I'm actually, this is my last point. I'm about to close. This is stunning. I can't believe I'm doing this. This is amazing. This is what he says at the end. I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. One of the things that we studied in church history was the Desert Fathers. The result of the gospel impacting a generation of people is that they followed Jesus as Lord, and as a result, it cost them a lot. Persecution was normalized. 300 years, was waves of resistance that produced martyrs. Tertullian said the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, and that's exactly what happened. And then it all really kind of came to a crashing halt in 324 with Constantine. He, in the Edict of Milan, he legalized Christianity. I'm not sure why he did this, what his heart was, what the motivation was, but that's what happened. The result, though, is that the purity of the church up to that point had been replaced with massive corruption. And so there was a protest that began. There was a group of zealous disciples who fled into the deserts. It was men and women, fathers and mothers. They saw the city as corrupt, and they dedicated themselves to ascetic lives. And as a result, they began to experience unique moments and lifestyles of encountering the Holy Spirit. They were weird. They were wild. They were wonderful. In one moment, there was a discussion. This is in the Sayings of the Desert Fathers. I can't go a message without a quote, so here it is. There's two fathers, two men who are talking, a junior and a senior. And this is the quote. Abba Lot went to see Abba Joseph and said to him, Abba, as far as I can say, I do my little office. I read my psalms. When he says his little office, he's meaning like he does this, he says his prayers. I fast a little bit. I pray and I meditate. I live in peace with others as far as I can. I purify my thoughts. Tell me, Father, what else, what more can I do? Now, let's just pause. Let's just think about this. He's saying, I am praying, reading my Bible, fasting, trying to live pure, and I'm doing it with some consistency. And all of us would be like, I want some. Like, I want that life. I want, like, could I have that? But what he's saying is, I do my devos. Is there anything more? Then the old man, Joseph, he stood up, stretched out his hands towards heaven. His fingers became like 10 lamps of fire. And he said to him, if you will, you can become all flame. What's he saying? He's saying that the power of the Holy Spirit from the Son, as a result of the Father, now delivered by the Holy Spirit himself, he now enters in to build and to create a vision for your life and my life that goes so much beyond just getting our devos done, but that what if life could actually become all flame? I mean, this is the vision, the hope, the reality of what Jesus is saying with his last words. His last words. He's saying, all flame. Like, what if you went to work and now you looked at your work and you said, Holy Spirit, fill me with your fire so I can read your word and you can open it up and open my eye, my mind, that I can be transformed by what I read, that you can touch my mouth, and I'm entering into a space with a new authority, with a new power, with a new confidence. Why? Because all flame. Like, what if this God is a God of fire that sets his people on fire? What if you are born from fire, for fire, whose faith is destined to be on fire? Like what if there was a life that every single day, this is what you have an anticipation for and an experience, a slow, steady experience of? And this is what I say to you as graduates. You have done it. You have navigated 2 years, over 250 hours, and I'm just telling you, God wants to set you on fire. May his word be opened up to you in new ways. May you and your mind be now molded and shaped and now come into line with the person of the Holy Spirit, where he touches your mind to understand his book, and not just to understand it, but to actually have the courage to live into it. May you have your mouth touched by the power of the Holy Spirit, that may you enter into new spaces, new opportunities, new moments with the book in hand, with your mouth on fire, living for the one who's setting you on fire. These are his last words, and these are the last words I give to you. That the King came to open up your mind, open up your mouth, and set you on fire, to open up heaven. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these amazing graduates. Lord, all that they have done, the people that they are becoming. Lord Jesus, I just take a moment and I say yes, yes and amen. God, the way by which you're calling them up and out, I just think of some of these stories of how you have set your people on fire during this two-year course. God, they have heard your voice. They have repented of sin. They've walked away from places of comfort that you were not happy with. God, that they have relented to you. They have seen you as Father. They have surrendered to you as Lord and King. Oh God, thank you for what you are doing in this people to take your book and to open it up. God, allow this to be just the beginning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.